You're back with Annie and Toby on Solidarity Breakfast on your 3CR community radio station. And
we've got some guests. G'day, Adam. G'day, Maluma. How you guys going?
Not too bad. Yourselves?
Yeah, good. It's been a good program so far. How's your trip down Melbourne ways been so far?
It's been pretty good. Nice and warm for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where have you come from?
I'm from Mataranka.
Tell us where that is.
That's about 400 k's south of Darwin.
Oh, cool. Okay. That's a long way.
Yeah.
Why have you come?
Just come down to, like, let people know about what's happening in our country and stuff, like in our part of the country.
And it's as part of an event today at 2:30 at Coburg Town Hall. I said town hall because Coburg's the most important town, but yeah.
But it is. It's called a town hall. it's a big. It's going to hopefully lots of people will turn up because this is really significant. What you're talking about is the lifeblood of your country, which is the water.
Yep.
What's going on?
Well, like we've got too much agriculture in there. Oh, not too much, but the agriculture is taking a lot of water out of our river, and it's starting to make an effect all the way down the river. Like from where they're taking the water out all the way down, like our waters are starting to get real low. Our animals are starting to disappear. And yeah, there's like a lot of animals that need to be protected in there. Like, for example, we've got the large-toothed swordfish in there. And, you know, they're critically endangered. You know, we need to look out for them. And we've got a pretty good number of them in our waterways.
And you were saying, we were having this conversation the other day, but you were saying that 80% of the world's most endangered species are there or something? Like,
yeah, so on my country, up in Darwin, Gullamergin, where they're planning to build Middle Arm gas hub, 80% of the world's mangroves species actually in Middle Arm. And so, yeah, the reason Adam and I are down here is Middle Arm gas hub is due to be built. And then there'll be fracking that will be happening near Jilkmingan, affecting Adam's country. And the gas that's fracked from the Beetaloo and these other fracking projects will be carried through pipelines up to my country, up that 400 kilometres, and then stored on my country, ready to be exported for free out internationally. And so that's why we've come together to show the connection between us two and our waterways and also how we're connected and then the impacts of fracking and gas on both of our communities.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, isn't it, that because you guys are from the top of the country, but the business interests are international and national, they've made these decisions and they're going to destroy the country.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty bad. Like, you can see the effects of it now just from the agriculture, the water being taken out, let alone what's going to happen with the fracking.
And Adam, you were saying that, like, it's at a point where even in your life experience, you've never seen the waters this low.
Yeah, like, we get some spots, like, we call the pocket, and, like, that's a main little fishing area for my people and that. And you go there and you can walk straight across the river now, like, there's no water there at all. Like, some spots have actually dried up. Like, yeah, some spots of the river have... Yeah, it's not flowing anymore.
See, what people don't realise about the way the Western economy works is that they think that the water is about, they commodify it and they talk about it in terms of volume and how much money they can make out of it when it comes to the agriculture. But they're not looking at the whole of the country, which is what you're custodians, you're the traditional owners of this land, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, we use our water in our ceremonies and everything like that. Like, it's got a cultural significance to us as well. And, yeah, like, some places we need to have water. And, yeah, if the water's gone, the people are gone. And, like, you know, we lose a bit of our, you know, like, our culture because you can't practice our ways, our traditions, if the water's not there.
Mm-hmm. And we see this, like, we see this same idea at different points, like we were saying the other day, like in the Murray-Darling, that's all at a much more advanced stage and you're just experiencing the start now.
Yeah.
And so there's a precedent there of
the destruction.
We see the destruction and it needs to be stopped.
Yeah, that's what I try to tell people, like, yeah, we're the next Murray-Darling Basin. If they keep going, like, our river's going to be destroyed. Like, you could see it already. Some of it, like, in some of our communities, that the water's that low. Like, in our communities, they have, like, their tap water is coming out brown because of, yeah, the aquifers are that low. And, yeah, they, you know, like, it's just too low and we can't live like that.
You know, with fracking too and the gas that you're talking about, one, the gas doesn't return economically, even in a Western sense, to Australia. It's an international interest. The fracking actually is undermining the artesian basin that's below the country that keeps the country alive, right?
Yeah.
Those basins are the lifeline for our whole country, and they're huge and they're really far, far, far underground. And the process of fracking is so harmful, and gas is meant to stay underground. We've also travelled down with Auntie Millie Wonga, and she was talking yesterday about how some things are just meant to stay there and you're not meant to touch them. And we know that because we get told from our old people all the time, don't go there, you're not allowed to go there. We just leave that, to sit there, let that rest there. And we understand that and respect that as a process. And we've been trying to say this, that gas is one of those things, is meant to stay there and you don't touch it.
You know, the thing that's really interesting is that you can share your cultural understanding to the broader group of people that have come and, well, invaders. We're the invaders of this country, but now we're part of the country, so we actually need to hear from you guys, don't we?
Yeah. Like, the basin that Sis Malilma was talking about, like, it's a really big basin that sits underneath the country, like, underneath us. Like, it goes all the way down, like, past Elliot and stuff like that. And then halfway up through the top of Queensland as well. Like, it's a really big basin. I think they're calling it the Beedaloo Basin now. And, yeah, like, that's what they want to frack. All the gas is sitting underneath that. And, yeah, like, if they do that, like, they're going to destroy a lot, like, poison a lot of the country. Because there's a big, like, aquifer underneath us that, yeah, that they're going to try and tap into.
The other thing is that they don't live here.
Yeah, and that's why they don't care. Like, you know, like, they see us as a sacrifice zone. Like, yeah, they're not there. Like, they don't care, you know, they don't have to live there. It's only us.
And when you go out to places like today, you go or you talk to the community, what's been the reaction generally? Are people pretty responsive to what's going on? Or
most people are actually pretty shocked that, like, when we tell them the story and, like, break it down to them. Like, yeah, some of them are, like ask us, like, how do they let the government do this? And it's like, I don't know, it's just been happening for ages.
Well, it's all part of settler colonialism. Yeah. And we were even had a discussion with some of the other panelists that have come down. We're down also with Dr. Louise Woodward and Kirstie Howie, the executive director of ECNT. And even within our group, Louise thought that, oh, I heard that in those communities where there's brown water, the government was meant to be giving UMOB water bottles with clean water.
And yeah, that doesn't happen in the communities around my place, no.
So all, like, in Darwin, all the bureaucracy and the government and the doctors think, oh, no, like, even though there's brown water, we are supplying clean water, but they never actually then check in with our communities to find out if that's even happening, and it's never.
Just enough for the spin to be happening. Yeah. And, I mean, the echoes are everywhere on all these, like, imperialist projects, like Flint, Michigan springs immediately to mind for the brown water, contaminated drinking water that they've had still... probably, you know, like...
which they actually orchestrated.
Mm.
And they orchestrated it for money. Oh, reminiscent of what's going on for you guys.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's not just for you guys. It's for the entire country. I mean, the country is a delicate, very old landmass that needs to be cared for, not corrupted.
Yeah, it's like in where I stay, we've got a couple of good little tourist spots, like... we've got the thermal pools, the Mataranka thermal pools. Then we've got the hot springs, the hot springs and I'm forgetting the name.
Bitter Springs?
Yeah, the Bitter Springs. Yeah, forgotten the name for a second there. like we've got that. And then plus everybody comes down there for fishing, for the barras and stuff. Like, you know, the more you take out of the water, like it's just going to destroy everything there.
Well, like, if it was better managed and the proper industries were provided for tourism and
fishing. Yeah, like there's other ways that they can make their revenue and line their pockets because that's all they want to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, like there's other ways to go about it, I reckon. Instead of destroying the place, like make it better.
And like obviously pretty terrifying for this new government that's been elected in the Northern Territory doing what they do already, lowering the age of criminal responsibility to 10 is absolutely horrifying. But how have you found the processes with interacting with them now with this new government, if at all?
Oh, they don't want it. The CLP want nothing to do with OSMOB, and they introduced this new position called the Territory Coordinator, which they didn't talk about in the election, and they've kind of done it as a surprise bill. And the Territory Coordinator is a bureaucrat position to sit next to the Chief Minister and will give these two people the absolute power to look over projects that provide economic growth to the NT. And if they think that the economics are too important, they can bypass any environmental protections, any regulations, and they can just approve the projects. And so this won't have direct impacts on Middle Arm because Middle Arm is actually a federal project, which is also why we're here targeting federal seats. But the projects like in the that affect the Beetaloo Basin and those fracking projects and any of the pipeline processes can bypass environmental regulations because the Chief Minister, Leah Fenocchiaro, and the Territory Coordinator, who is a former worker at INPEX, they have the ultimate say to just not even follow any regulations whatsoever.
For people listening, who's INPEX?
Oh, okay. INPEX is one of the gas companies.
It'd be fascinating to find out who's making the money out of this, the investors. There'll be a handful of investors sitting there, fat bums sitting there, sucking the marrow out of the country. Unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievable stuff.
And we also had the former Deputy Chief Minister, Nicole Manison, who was also the Resources Minister and the Police Minister.
Funny that.
She just got announced a job last week that she's now working for Tamboran, which is a Texan fracking company, who she approved their contract to frack in the Beetaloo.
Well, conflict of interest much? Or
no, but she was exposed. It's obviously a bit of a cowboy outfit, the government up in Northern Territory. So before we come to the end of the program, we've got to tell people important stuff, which is that Coburg Town Hall today at 2:30, there's going to be a panel, and there's also going to be people at Fed Square at 9:30. If you can't come on Saturday, today, then you can go down in the morning, bring your family, to 9:30 Federation Square. There's going to be talks about what's going on. It's very important. You wouldn't have come all this way unless it was very important.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. It means that everybody in this country can actually fight for country.
Yep.
Yeah, we need to all stand together on it, yeah. Like, you know, we're all here now, so we all got to look after the place.
So open invitation for everyone wearing a Clothing the Gap hat to come down and show up properly.
If you're wearing a kafia and an Aboriginal flag, come down.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you're not, bring your family. If you're feeling too scared, listen, the point of it is, it always reminds me of this old Irish thing, which is that you've got no pockets in your shroud, right? You've got to fight for country and for the living world because we're part of it. Until money is a dead thing. It's not the value. Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Yep. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Stress. We'll see you a bit later today.
Yep. No worries.
See you there.
Yeah.